Chapters 5 and 6. Chapters 5 is the evidence of learning. So the key continents of that one is like the sources of evidence, observing the learning, collecting products, conversations about learning, and then creating a plan. So, here, let's see. So yeah, evidence is basically like what the students will be doing. Observing the learner, yeah.
Like observing often, like in my mind, doesn't always like I don't always think of assessment because you can't really like necessarily grade observations, right? But it's still a part of assessment because you're not like formally assessing, but you're observing and you're like looking at like, okay, are they doing it? Are they not? Like, are they talking in the group project? Are they not? Like that kind of thing.
Well, me and Josh are phys ed majors, so we know like observation is super important for us, and it's like a big part of our assessment.
Yeah.
So I think it depends on like what subject it is.
That's true. Because I guess like in younger grades, like
Exactly.
a lot of the like what you're doing is observation, right? Because you can't
Yeah,
really
totally.
give them a like paper or a test or something in kindergarten.
Also, with the developing of like observation, we have to be like on top of it, because if we're gonna grade people, it's not gonna be accurate if we're not gonna observe properly and consistently.
Yeah, I agree. And then, like Nahani, when you were talking about evidence, wouldn't all assessment be evidence? Like, that's kind of like what all my other profs have always said, is that like assessment is evidence of learning.
Yeah. No, definitely, like it's just I think it's for like us to just collect it.
It's like a physical piece, basically, is what it is. It's like we need to collect something in hand to provide that evidence.
Gotcha.
Okay. So would that be like more for like summative assessment?
Yeah, so in order to do like formative assessment, we have to also be observing, but when we collect things, it does take a bit of observing and consistency of observing to be able to grade that properly.
Okay, yeah, because like I have more experience with formative assessment, so but yeah, that would be good to just get the evidence. Yeah, it just talks about like evidence, observing the learner, and then collecting products, which we kind of talked about, and then conversations about learning, so maybe just like that it's ongoing, and then creating a plan. So let's see here.
Yeah, so it's talking again about the evidence and being reliable enough to observe it. If we're consistently observing, then we're getting better accuracy in grading and assessing.
Like making sure that you have like enough observations, enough like physical evidence, enough conversations around it to actually create that kind of grade, and the final assessment, making sure you have enough of that evidence.
And I think by following the triangulation of evidence is huge. Like that would, it builds the validity of it and like the reliability as well to create those, like a deeper understanding of what our learners are understanding as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's like maybe collecting all this evidence then, like, of all of the, yeah, just collecting and then making it better.
Yeah, so we have time. Observations, conversations, and product. So product, to me, from what I understand, is what we're being handed. So reader response, journals, recordings, like physical things. And then conversations is obviously like conversation, self-assessing, just like it during work type of thing, during classwork. And then observation is what we're seeing and what we're understanding that the student is picking up.
Okay.
That makes sense. And then I guess this is important to add, but like having that like hard copy evidence of like what each student is doing is going to like save our butts if like a parent is like, why'd my kid get a beginning on this thing or whatever? Then you have that to say, this is why.
Yeah, you have like the actual physical, like, this is exactly what they did.
Yeah.
This is why.
It'd be good to have, like, a file folder with, like, all the kids' names and just put all of their, like, work in them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just thought about that. That's a good idea.
Keep it all organized.
Yeah, and then you can just, like, keep it for the whole year and then maybe, you know, see how they progress throughout the year, too. And then, yeah, that'd be good. I guess it's just like finding, so as long as we have these three components within this triangulation, I think we'd be good for just keeping the evidence and everything. And then, yeah, that's basically like the whole chapter. I don't know. And then it just gives like different ways to, like, different formats of diagrams to assess in the chapter. And then, yeah, creating a plan, which basically puts, like, writing in the triangles, like, what you would do for the observations, like, checklists, problem-solving, group work, presentations, video recordings, and then, like, I guess just adding into the chart, which would be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then, like, products, like, what would they be doing? So, like, notebooks, quizzes, recordings, conversations, like, what would the peer feedback would be, audio recordings, stuff like that. So it's just utilizing that triangle, I think. And then chapter 6, if we're ready to move on here. Okay, so chapter 6 is like involving students in classroom assessment. So talks about assessment for learning, involves students in setting and using criteria, engage students in self and peer assessment, increase the sources of specific descriptive feedback, assist students to set goals, have students collect evidence of learning, and having students present evidence of learning. So,
I think a lot of that is like kind of what we've been doing almost in class today, where like you're getting students to help you make the criteria. Like, not necessarily in the same sense that we did it today, because we were, like, fully creating it, but inviting them to, like, edit the criteria or, like, have conversations around what that criteria is and giving them kind of a say in that.
So, it's, like, very focused on,
it's kind of more student-led.
It allows them to have their own ownership over what's being assessed. So it holds them accountable for what they're going to do.
Right.
Okay, that makes sense. So I like that. That's good. So I'm just checking out what is in this chapter here. Just has like different ways to do like brainstorming with, I think, the students. So yeah, that would be good just to kind of like know what students kind of understand, and then you can form things around that. Yeah, that's like a whole chunk of chapter 6 basically. And then I don't know if we want to, so we talked a little bit about like assessment for learning. There's involving students in setting and using criteria, we talked a little bit about, and then engage students in self and peer assessment. I feel like that relates to one of the earlier chapters we talked about with like peer assessments and stuff.
Yeah.
And like peer assessments could like really go hand in hand with whatever, like especially with what we're talking about, where it's kind of student led and they get to have input on how they're assessed and what they're being assessed on. Like some students may really like peer assessments, so they might do a class vote and say, we want a peer assessment for this assignment or whatever, right? So it's just kind of considering.
Yeah, right. I think peer assessments.
Like when you give them choice, like it's, all of my profs talk about it, like when you give a student choice, they're more likely, or when they give, you give them input, you give them autonomy over what's going on, they're more likely to do it and put effort into it. So I'm like including them in this assessment process may help them in the long run, like when they're trying to complete this assignment, because they understand the assignment better and they're like more willing to do it because they helped create the criteria for it.
Yeah, I think that's huge. I think if you understand like the assessment criteria on something, you're going to do way better in it because you understand what's being asked of you.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, that's good to go over like thoroughly what you'll be doing with the students, just so that they know what they're supposed to do. Okay, and then, yeah, increase the sources of specific and descriptive feedback. Assist students to set goals. Assist. Yeah, I feel like that's, like, good for students to just create goals. And then, like, as I think Nadia mentioned earlier, it's, like, so that they're accountable for...
I think that setting goals is, like, a good life skill. Not just, like, I think it carries on into other aspects of life and, like, not just in school either. I think it's really important to be able to set, like... achievable goals.
Yeah,
just in life.
Does anybody else agree with that? Probably.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah. I didn't see it that way, but that's a good way to view that. And then also, yeah, and then the last two, like, points for the chapter are just how students collect evidence of learning. So maybe they can keep their projects or learn from that. Like, maybe just encourage them to think about the work that they've done. And then the last bullet point for the chapter here is just have students present evidence of learning. So,
and like you said, like probably, you're looking back and like you're reflecting on what you've done. That's a huge part of the learning process, because it allows you to like look at what you've done, look at what you've created, what you've achieved, and like grow from that point.
Sorry. Yeah, I agree. Just like kids like sharing. They like sharing what they've done, right? So yeah, that basically wraps up, I think, like both of the chapters.
Ooh, we're like 5 minutes early-ish.
Okay. Maybe we can end the recording and then just